Author Marshall Shelley, who suffered the death of two children at a young age, shares, "I always loved to read and realized I would be confused in the opening chapters with new characters and subplots that made no sense in relation to the main plot. But I learned to keep reading." Why? Because you know a good author will weave all together by the end of the book, making each element meaningful. At times, faith needs to be such a conscious choice. When I can't explain why a chromosomal abnormality developed in my son, which prevented him from living on Earth more than 2 minutes, or when I can't fathom why my daughter had to endure 2 years of profound retardation and continual seizures, I choose to trust that before the book closes, the author will make it all clear. You know, as we begin a new year, and we're still in the beginning of a new year, even though we're getting through January here, one of the things that's important for us, I think, as we start this year off together, is to realize that we're experiencing a book, and it's the book of our lives. There are some chapters that we can't wait to get to, and then there are other chapters we don't even want to go to, right? I think of Marshall's sharing with us about the death of his children and how profoundly painful that must have been for him. And yet, his incredible faith to keep on turning the pages and keep on living life. I want to spend a little time with you over the next couple of weeks focusing in on actually just one verse in the Bible, Isaiah 40:31. Because it was a verse that kept coming to me actually toward the end of last year. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And there's incredible promise in that verse that Skip so beautifully read to us today with such feeling. And yet at times, it also is a struggle, isn't it, to wait upon the Lord. I don't know about you, but part of my question to the Lord as I wait upon him is, how long, O Lord, right? How long do I wait? Bible Hub notes that Isaiah wrote to the Babylonian exiles who were suffering a long and grievous captivity. That's when this particular part of Scripture was written. He was writing to them when they were in danger and want, and who had no prospect of deliverance except by the hand of God. The Babylonians had invaded Israel as part of God's judgment upon the people. They had destroyed the city. They had taken most of the people captive except the most poor. And all of Israel were basically captives of the Babylonians. And as Isaiah was sharing these words with them, they were probably thinking, well, Isaiah, what have you been smoking? Or how is God going to do this? Because the only way this is going to happen is by God's hand. That's the only way it's going to happen. So this phrase about waiting upon the Lord and renewing your strength is especially applicable to all who feel they are weak, feeble, guilty, or helpless, and ultimately have to put their trust in God. Are you maybe in that place right now, or maybe you have been in that place where the only option for you was God? You'd exhausted all the other options, medically, financially, your reasoning, some of the best minds around in the country, and you still came to the final place that your hope was ultimately going to need to be placed in God. This word wait, waiting upon the Lord, doesn't communicate the idea of inactivity, of sitting on your reclining couch and popping bonbons or eating grapes and waiting for God to do something, but it rather expresses the idea of having an expectant attitude of faith. This idea of waiting upon the Lord is a waiting upon him to actually do something. A lot of times, you and I don't know what that is, especially after we have exhausted all that we know to do. We come up with a big question mark, don't we? And we don't know what God is going to do. And let me just say, when you're at that place, God has you exactly where he wants you. And the reality is that as we wait upon him, it's an expression of faith. Often when we're waiting upon the Lord in this kind of a situation, we don't want to be there. It's a place that God has brought us to, or situations in life, and it causes us to grow deeper in Him or to be destroyed. Again, we can focus in on the negative, we can focus in on the trial, we can focus in on the struggle, and if you and I do that, which we have done before, we know where that road leads, and that is our destruction. It is overwhelming. It is dark. It is powerful. And that is why the call here from the very beginning in Isaiah is to wait upon the Lord, to turn your focus and attention toward Him, to have an expectant faith in Him that He is going to move. It's to trust God and to place one's confidence in Him for strength to bear burdens and deliverance in due time, which is simply to say we'll need to wait for God to move in His time and in His way. Now, if I were you in your position in the pew right now, I would be saying to myself, great. That's exactly what I wanted to hear today. I've already been waiting for some things for about 10 or 20 years. I'm good waiting maybe for a few hours or maybe a day or two or maybe even a couple of weeks. But the kind of waiting, Father Joe, that you're talking about is just insane. It's impossible for a human being to do that in their own strength. And that's exactly right. But you see, when we're in this place of waiting upon the Lord to renew our strength, it's not about our strength anymore. It's about His strength. It's about being brought to the place where we're at the end of our strength, and we don't even know if we want to go on. And that is where God comes in a way that is fresh and new and powerful. Let me just say something else about waiting. None of us like to wait. But I can just honestly say to you, and I believe the same is true for you, some of your greatest mistakes have been made by not waiting. In fact, if a number of us could go back and change some of the choices we made earlier on just because we rushed it, I would be back there in a heartbeat. And a lot of times, God has us wait because the answer is not ready yet. God could answer every one of our prayers just like that. The problem is, He's working with us. Yeah, that's the challenge. Could you imagine working with us? It's like herding cats. Good luck. Right? God's working with you. He's working with me, and He's working with a whole lot of other people in a whole lot of other situations, to where ultimately as we wait upon the Lord, as He gets everything perfectly in place and we're following Him, it just all comes together. And you and I have had that feeling of perfect timing. God's timing is perfect. I don't like it a lot of times. It's not soon enough for me, but His timing is perfect. And so a lot of times that's why you and I need to wait. We need to wait because we're not ready for the answer yet. As much as you think that you are not. Or maybe in God's perfect timing, the body of Christ is not ready yet, or the world is not ready yet. And so that's why we wait. We wait upon God, and in doing that, we acknowledge that He is the Lord, that He is sovereign, and that He will have His way with us, and we surrender to that. And you see, there's a breaking in waiting, isn't there? We realize our humanity and His divinity, and that's very important as well. There are things that happen when you and I wait that can happen in no other place. In no other place. Some of you, as I prayed about this time to share this message a few weeks ago, some of you are in a waiting period. I just know it in my spirit. Decisions aren't clear yet for you. Goals aren't fully realized. You're sick, tired, uncertain, and confused. You are in what I would call an Elijah moment. If you haven't had a chance to read 1 Kings 19, write it down right now on your bulletin somewhere. Read it later on. Take some time to read 1 Kings 19 about this Elijah moment that I'm going to highlight for you right now, but it's a great story about one of the great prophets of God and his Elijah moment. You'll remember the story about Elijah, who was called by God to confront the prophets of Baal. And as Elijah did that, there was that closing scene in the incredible story where he soaked the altar of God with water because God told him to. And then a fire from heaven came down and consumed the sacrifice that was on the altar. And all of the people of Israel saw what happened, and they realized that they needed to return to the Lord God Almighty and stop serving the idol of Baal. And he got rid of all of the prophets of Baal, and there was a great reformation, a great repentance, and a great revival of the people of Israel coming back to God. It was one of Elijah's and Israel's greatest moments ever. It was incredible. It was party time. It was. But the most interesting thing happened in this story. What should have been a celebration, what should have been a great rejoicing before God for a number of days at a great deliverance, what happened was Jezebel, who headed up all of these prophets, this was her deal, all of these prophets that Elijah killed. She said to Elijah, you know what? I am going to kill you. Whatever it takes, I'm going to destroy your life. Now, for some reason, the prophet of God, who had just done one of the mightiest things that any believer will ever do, who had saw fire from heaven come down and consume the offering on a wet altar, when this woman said that to him, he became afraid. I don't know why, other than there was something very demonic in her that scared Elijah. And it must have been incredibly scary. And I think part of it too was Elijah was tired. He's probably tired and he's probably vulnerable. But be that as may, whatever it was, it scared him and he started to run. Wherever Jezebel was, he was running in the opposite direction. And he ran and he ran and he ran as quick as he could and as far as he could for days on end until he couldn't run anymore. You ever been there before? I won't ask for a show of hands. Elijah was exhausted. He was tired. He was hungry. He was full of fear. He was angry at God. He felt he was the only one left in Israel that was faithful to God. He was depressed. He was so depressed that he cried out to God, God, why don't you take my life? I've had enough. This is enough for me. This is too much for me. And then something interesting happened. An angel of the Lord appeared to him at that moment. You know, you get this vision of Elijah on the edge of a cliff. He's got one little finger a hold of a rope, and he's about ready to go down, right? And then right then, in that moment, the angel of the Lord appears to him and gives him some hot bread and some water. Guess Panera Bread on the run, right? Takes care, there's hot bread and there's water. And the angel encourages Elijah to eat and to drink. And so Elijah eats this bread and drinks this water, and then he rests because he's exhausted. After he rests for a while, the angel awakens him again. And he, guess what? He has more hot bread and water, which is great. And Elijah eats that. And the angel says something to him that I've never forgotten. He says to him, you need to eat and you need to rest because the journey is too much for you. Those words are timeless. They just keep hitting me right here. The journey is too much for you. And you see, the angel of the Lord in that moment spoke a word to Elijah of powerful truth, and I believe spoke a timeless word to you and me as human beings throughout all times, that at times the journey is too much for us. And it's okay. Part of being a human being. You know, sometimes the greatest thing you can do is to eat some hot bread, to drink some cold water, and go to sleep. In fact, that's exactly what you need to do. And thankfully, Elijah was so exhausted that he listened to the angel. And he went back to rest and sleep even more because that's exactly what he needed to do in that moment. And it says in this story that Elijah's strength was renewed. Elijah's strength was renewed. To renew means to change, alter, or revive. It means to restore that which is decayed. One becomes strong in faith and hope again, overcomes sins or obstacles, because God strengthens them supernaturally, empowering them to follow the Lord. And my question to you and me here at the beginning of this new year is, where do you need to be renewed? Where do I need to be renewed? You know, God was speaking this word to me before Christmas of last year, because I was feeling pretty burnt out. Before Christmas, that's not a good thing for a priest. And the Lord spoke this word to me from Isaiah 41. He goes, you know what, Joe, you need to wait upon me and renew your strength. You need to wait upon me and renew your strength. So by God's grace, I listened to him because, you know, one of the blessings of being exhausted is you're a little bit more open to hearing what God has to say. And I began to listen to the Lord. I cut back a little bit, spent a little bit more time in prayer and in scripture, and actually just spent more time sleeping during the day whenever I could find some time. And what I noticed beginning to happen is my strength began to gradually be renewed to the present moment where it's continuing to take place and I feel better. But you see, I needed to hear the word of the Lord, and I needed, most importantly, to obey it. And I needed to be renewed. And some of you are in that place right now. Some of you are in a waiting place, and you need to be renewed. Your strength needs to be renewed so that you can know what the Lord would have you do. But, you know, often human beings make the mistake that when we're exhausted, when we are wiped out and we're running away because of fear or struggle or failure or whatever it might be, unfortunately, some people keep trying to find something to do, keep trying to find the right answer, and guess what? You're going to keep going in the wrong direction. You're going to keep making mistakes because you are too exhausted to hear what God would have you do. It is inevitable you're going to head in the wrong direction. It's just going to happen. So hear the word of the Lord through me today. You want to know what your answer is? You've come to the right place. You need to wait upon the Lord and renew your strength. You need to eat of the bread of the Word of God. Spend some time in the Scripture. Spend some extra time praying. Go for some walks along Gulf Shore or out in some of the beautiful surroundings here in Florida. Come in here into the church and pray. Be a part of some of the Bible studies and the prayer groups that we have. And just wait upon the Lord. And just say to the Lord, you know what, Lord? I hear what you're saying to me through Father Joe, and I'm going to wait upon you. In the midst of this illness I'm struggling with, in the midst of this struggle that's before me relationally, in the midst of the things that are going on in my life right now and in the world, I don't know what weighs up or down. Lord, I'm going to wait upon you and renew my strength. How long do you wait there? You wait until your strength's renewed. If you're still tired, guess what? It's not renewed. If you don't know your direction yet, guess what? It's not renewed. If you're not quite sure what to do and you're still struggling, guess what? It's not renewed. Wait upon the Lord until you renew your strength. And then once the Lord gives you direction, then move out. Father Joe, how long do I wait? I don't know. You wait as long as you have to. And let me give you a clue. Let me just give you a clue. It's going to be longer than you think. It's going to be longer than you think. And that's good. It's good because God knows when we're ready. You see, Elijah was renewed. He was renewed by God's ministry to him through the angel. And then after that, he would journey 40 days to Mount Sinai where God would speak to him. This 40 days of fasting and prayer and being before the Lord in preparation to hear the word of the Lord, that he might really hear it. When he gets to Mount Sinai, God would ask him what he was doing there. Translation, Elijah, you never should have run away from Jezebel. And he would reveal the truth of his situation. Elijah, you're not the only one left in Israel worshiping me. There are thousands of Israelites left who have not bent the knee to Baal. See, God revealed the truth of his situation, and God will reveal the truth of your situation as you let him speak to you. And believe me, it might be something that you don't see right now that you're not aware of. You might be seeing the situation completely wrong. And finally, God would direct him to anoint a new prophet for Israel, his assistant by the name of Elisha. And then finally, God would pick up Elijah in a fiery chariot and take him off to heaven. What a way to go. What a ministry. What a life. You know, God honored the whole life of Elijah. What happened at the very end wasn't the whole story, but rather God brought Elijah back to him. As we wait upon the Lord and as our strength is renewed, God will help us to follow him and give us the direction that he has for my life and for your life as well. Are you in a waiting place right now? Do you need to have your strength renewed?